The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 49. Ancient Deities of Vegetation as Animals. Section 5. Verbius and the Horse. We are now in a position to hazard a conjecture as to the meaning of the tradition that Verbius, the first of the divine kings of the wood at Arisha, had been killed in the character of Hippolytus by horses. Having found, first, that spirits of the corn are not infrequently represented in the form of horses, and, second, that the animal which in later legends is said to have injured the god was sometimes originally the god himself, we may conjecture that the horses by which Verbius or Hippolytus was said to have been slain were really embodiments of him as a deity of vegetation. The myth that he had been killed by horses was probably invented to explain certain features in his worship, amongst others the custom of excluding horses from his sacred grove. For myth changes while custom remains constant. Men continue to do what their fathers did before them, though the reasons on which their fathers acted have been long forgotten. The history of religion is a long attempt to reconcile old custom with new reason, to find a sound theory for an absurd practice. In the case before us, we may be sure that the myth is more modern than the custom and by no means represents the original reason for excluding horses from the grove. From their exclusion it might be inferred that horses could not be the sacred animals or embodiments of the god of the grove. But the inference would be rash. The goat was at one time a sacred animal or embodiment of Athena, as may be inferred from the practice of representing the goddess clad in a goat skin, Aegis. Yet the goat was neither sacrificed to her as a rule, nor allowed to enter her great sanctuary, the Acropolis at Athens. The reason alleged for this was that the goat injured the olive, the sacred tree of Athena. So far, therefore, the relation of the goat to Athena is parallel to the relation of the horse to Verbius, both animals being excluded from the sanctuary on the ground of injury done by them to the god. But from Vora we learn that there was an exception to the rule which excluded the goat from the Acropolis. Once a year, he says, the goat was driven onto the Acropolis for a necessary sacrifice. Now, as has been remarked before, when an animal is sacrificed once and once only in the year, it is probably slain, not as a victim offered to the god, but as a representative of the god himself. Therefore we may infer that if a goat was sacrificed on the Acropolis once a year, it was sacrificed in the character of Athena herself. And it may be conjectured that the skin of the sacrificed animal was placed on the statue of the goddess and formed the aegis, which would thus be renewed annually. Similarly at Thebes in Egypt rams were sacred and were not sacrificed. But on one day in the year a ram was killed, and its skin was placed on the statue of the god Ammon. Now, if we knew the ritual of the Arishian grove better, we might find that the rule of excluding horses from it, like the rule of excluding goats from the Acropolis at Athens, was subject to an annual exception, a horse being once a year taken into the grove and sacrificed as an embodiment of the god Verbius. By the usual misunderstanding, the horse thus killed would come in time to be regarded as an enemy offered up in sacrifice to the god whom he had injured, like the pig which was sacrificed to Demeter and Osiris, or the goat which was sacrificed to Dionysus, and possibly to Athena. It is so easy for a writer to record a rule without noticing an exception that we need not wonder at finding the rule of the Arishian grove recorded without any mention of an exception such as I suppose. If we had had only the statements of Athenaeus and Pliny, we should have known only the rule which forbade the sacrifice of goats to Athena and excluded them from the Acropolis, without being aware of the important exception which the fortunate preservation of Varro's work has revealed to us. The conjecture that once a year a horse may have been sacrificed in the Arishian grove as a representative of the deity of the grove derives some support from the similar sacrifice of a horse which took place once a year at Rome. On the 15th of October in each year a chariot race was run on the field of Mars. Stabbed with a spear, the right-hand horse of the victorious team was then sacrificed to Mars for the purpose of ensuring good crops, and its head was cut off and adorned with a string of loaves. Thereupon the inhabitants of two wards the sacred way in the Subura contended with each other who should get the head. If the people of the sacred way got it, they fastened it to a wall of the king's house. If the people of the Subura got it, they fastened it to the Mamelian tower. The horse's tail was cut off and carried to the king's house with such speed that the blood dripped on the half of the house. Further, it appears that the blood of the horse was caught and preserved till the 21st of April, when the Vestal Virgins mixed it with the blood of the unborn calves which had been sacrificed 6 days before. The mixture was then distributed to shepherds, and used by them for fumigating their flocks. In this ceremony the decoration of the horse's head with a string of loaves, and the alleged object of the sacrifice, namely, to procure a good harvest, seem to indicate that the horse was killed as one of those animal representatives of the corn spirit of which we have found so many examples. The custom of cutting off the horse's tail is like the African custom of cutting off the tails of the oxen and sacrificing them to obtain a good crop. In both the Roman and the African custom, the animal apparently stands for the corn spirit, and its fructifying power is supposed to reside especially in its tail. The latter idea occurs, as we have seen, in European folklore. Again, the practice of fumigating the cattle in spring with the blood of the horse may be compared with the practice of giving the old wife, the maiden, or the cleach sheaf as fodder to the horses in spring or the cattle at Christmas, and giving the ewe boar to the ploughing oxen or horses to eat in spring. All these usages aim at ensuring the blessing of the corn spirit on the homestead and its inmates and storing it up for another year. The Roman sacrifice of the October horse, as it was called, carries us back to the early days when the Subura, afterwards a low and squalid quarter of the great metropolis, was still a separate village, whose inhabitants engaged in a friendly contest on the harvest field with their neighbors of Rome, then a little rural town. The field of Mars on which the ceremony took place lay beside the Tiber, and formed part of the king's domain down to the abolition of the monarchy. For tradition ran that at the time when the last of the kings was driven from Rome, the corn stood ripe for the sickle on the crown lands beside the river. But no one would eat the accursed grain, and it was flung into the river in such heaps that, the water being low with the summer heat, it formed the nucleus of an island. The horse sacrifice was thus an old autumn custom observed upon the king's cornfields at the end of the harvest. The tail and blood of the horse, as the chief parts of the corn spirit's representative, were taken to the king's house and kept there. Just as in Germany the harvest cock is nailed on the gable or over the door of the farmhouse. And as the last sheaf, in the form of the maiden, is carried home and kept over the fireplace in the Highlands of Scotland. Thus the blessing of the corn spirit was brought to the king's house and hearth and, through them, to the community of which he was the head. Similarly in the spring and autumn customs of Northern Europe the maypole is sometimes set up in front of the house of the mayor or burgomaster, and the last sheaf at harvest is brought to him as the head of the village. But while the tail and blood fell to the king, the neighboring village of the Subura, which no doubt once had a similar ceremony of its own, was gratified by being allowed to compete for the prize of the horse's head. The Mamelian tower, to which the Suburans nailed the horse's head when they succeeded in carrying it off, appears to have been a peel tower or keep of the old Mamelian family, the magnates of the village. The ceremony thus performed on the king's fields and at his house on behalf of the whole town and of the neighboring village presupposes a time when each township performed a similar ceremony on its own fields. In the rural districts of Latium the villages may have continued to observe the custom, each on its own land, long after the Roman hamlets had merged their separate harvest homes in the common celebration on the king's lands. There is no intrinsic improbability in the supposition that the sacred grove of Arusha, like the field of Mars at Rome, may have been the scene of a common harvest celebration, at which a horse was sacrificed with the same rude rites on behalf of the neighboring villages. The horse would represent the fructifying spirit both of the tree and of the corn, for the two ideas melt into each other, as we see in customs like the harvest may.